بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن دعا بدعوته واحتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، respected elders and brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتخذوا اليهود ولا النصارى أولياء بعضهم أولياء بعض ومن يتولهم منكم فإنه منهم. ويقول سبحانه وتعالى ولن ترضى عنك اليهود ولا النصارى حتى تتبع ملتهم. My respected brothers and elders in Islam, it was a few weeks ago that paging through the local newspapers, an article dawned upon me concerning the aftermath of the Gulf War. And it was shocking to find out what was this aftermath that had taken place. So it made me look deeper into this whole thing. And I just want to quote you a few statistics, and from there I would like to look at how it affects the Ummah at large and how it affects us here in South Africa. It is said that during the Gulf War, 1 million rounds tipped with uranium were fired in Iraq. Now, if you look at what do we mean by this uranium tipped bullet? Now, a bullet is quite big because it is not shot from a semi-automatic or automatic M16. It is shot from the aeroplane. It is shot from the F-16 or the F-117 stealth bomber. So it's quite massive, and it's tipped what is called DU, sort of a diluted uranium. Now, this type of bullet, you can shoot it through a tank. It will cut through the tank like how a hot knife cuts through butter. They used 1 million. And another close on to 40,000 was dumped in Iraq. Now, people, these things are radioactive. It was put into the food chain. And the worst part is when this bullet hits its target, it explodes. And it goes into the atmosphere also. So when you're breathing, you're breathing in this uranium. Look at their planning. So, and not forgetting that these bullets were also targeted at the so-called biological plants where these biological warfare was being produced. So that also caused destruction to the atmosphere. Now let us look at the effects of this round that has been fired, especially near Basra. Deformities in babies. Now don't be surprised when I say this. Children or babies born without heads. Now this shocked me. Babies born with two heads. Babies born with enlarged heads where the child cannot be given birth by normal channels, but rather has to be operated to be in order to be removed from the womb, from the mother's womb, to be actually pulled out of the mother's womb, where Allah Ta'ala makes it come out naturally. Here they have made the children come out in such a way that you've got to actually force it out even by caesarean section, because the head is so big. In September alone of 1998, in one hospital, there were six babies born without heads. That's how the Iraqi people, of course, we are not forgetting, we are not playing down the so-called Down syndrome children that are being born in Iraq. Down syndrome. We're all aware of the Down syndrome. We have got here in South Africa also. But there is becoming like a normal thing now. The coalition troop that took part in this Gulf War, they were also affected. One officer of the United Kingdom, his wife gave birth to a child 6 years after the Gulf War. And the child, who is 6 years, who is about 5 years old, behaves like a three-year-old. He was exposed to this uranium for 7 days on the Basra road in Iraq. So it affected him also. 90% of all the British troops that took part in the Gulf War, in the 100-hour war in Iraq, are now radioactive. Now these people, remember, have left Iraq, are now under treatment in the best hospitals in the UK. What about our Muslim brothers, sisters and children in Iraq? They use that machine that makes a sound to see whether you're radioactive or not. If we go there, that thing will go all haywire. Then we say, what does this mean to us? What does this mean to us? Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not take the Jew and the Christians as our companions, as our friends. Because they will never be satisfied until they bring you onto their deen. They will never rest. They would never rest. They have destroyed us in many a country. And they will, as a Sheikh, a Shaheed, Abdullah Azzam, rahimahullah, said, سَيَكُونُ يَوْمٍ مِنَ الْأَيَّامِ أَمْرِيكَ إِلَهًا يُعْبَدْ. He says, there's going to come a time where America will become a god that will be worshipped. This was mentioned. We've got America. We've got the Patriot missiles. But then of course, do not forget what the ulama during the people who were fighting against the kuffar in the time of great leaders like Dr. Mustafa al-Saba'i, who was assassinated in the streets of Lebanon, and various others, when they were fighting against the Portuguese in North Africa, and they saw these aircraft for the first time, these Arabs in North Africa saw these aeroplanes, you know, those they didn't have jet for bombers, they had these one with propels, you know. And these were flying over them, and they said, oh, ya Sheikh, Ibn Badis, his name was Sheikh Ibn Badis al-Mufassir. Ya Sheikh, what is this? He says, they are above us, they are powerful. He says, is Allah above them or below them? He says, Allah is above them. He says, Ya Allah, tawakkal ala Allah. Tawakkal ala Allah. We have forgotten the meaning of tawakkal to Allah wa hasbuna. Part of our dhikr, we hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakil. كما كان يذكره سبحان الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم حسبي الله ونعم الوكيل. When we are in difficulty, how many of us recite that? How many of us do recite it? When we are in difficulty, what do you say? Hey, make a contact, hey, make a plan, hey, phone that way, he'll make a plan. Allah is the best of plans. When we going to turn to Allah Ta'ala, says Allah بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب. When are we going to turn around to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now let us see what lessons we can learn from this. What they have done in Iraq. First of all, to weaken the Sha'b al-Iraqi. To weaken the Iraqi people. Where did Hassan al-Basri come from? Iraq! Imam al-Azam Abu Hanifa rahmahullah. From where? From Iraq.
Al-Baghdadi, Imam al-Baghdadi, where did he come from? Baghdad, the intellectual center of the Muslim world. Say, we'll destroy it. Because those are the akbad, those are the jil, those are the offsprings of these great ulama. So we need to destroy them now. They want to weaken us not only physically, but mentally, emotionally. They want to destroy us. If you want to lead an ummah astray, take away the ulama. Take away the ulama. And where is the ummah then? This is what they want to do. The most important thing to any country is its children. You destroy the children. You have children born without heads. You have Down syndrome children. What is the future of that country? That country will be begging from now till the day of Qiyamah. And they want these people to remain as beggars. And then of course it becomes a testing ground. They have used Iraq. They have manipulated the world to say, Saddam Hussein is like this, he's an evil person, he's like that. So they can use any type of weaponry. So no human rights organizations can come and say, well, these people are using things contradictory to United Nations resolution, this, that and that. So they will bypass all these resolutions to test out their type of weaponry. Because it's only a Muslim black man. What is so cheap? We can get much more than that. And then of course they're sending out a very strong warning to the other Arab countries. Don't try us. We will do what we did to Iraq, we will do it to you. So when we say jump, you say how high. They are sending out a message to all these countries. And for what? For the protection of the naft, for the protection of their oil as they call it. And of course, for the protection of their great grandfather, and that Israel. They will always protect them. Anybody touches Israel, you are touching us, and we will do to you what we did. Don't go far. Go into Iraq, look over the wall, you'll see Iraq, the same thing will happen to you. Like a father will tell a child, you see, you put your hand in your fire, you got burnt. The same thing happened to you, you do it again. So watch. They are challenging the Muslim world. Try it and we'll show you. And where are we today? It brings tears to my eyes. Can you imagine Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam sitting with the Sahaba and the Sahaba ridwanullah say, Ya Rasulullah, you mean to say we are going to be so many thousands and millions and we'll be weak? Naam. Limadha ya Rasulullah? لماذا يا رسول الله? The words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If it doesn't bring some ghira in our hearts, then we are weak. حب الدنيا وكراهية الموت. The love for this world and the hatred for death. That's what we are coming to now. We are millions. When we say وَقَتَلَ دَعُودَ جَالُوتْ, and when David killed Goliath, who was David and who was Goliath? David was a small shepherd and Goliath was a giant. But today who is the David in the Middle East and who is the Goliath and who is hitting who? We have got the best gift Allah Ta'ala can bestow upon any human being, and that is Iman. And Allah says, now build upon it. Like you go to the government today, they give you a piece of land, say, build a house. You say, no, I'll put you on tent here. Doesn't work that way. You build your house. Allah says, build upon your iman. How, ya Rabb? Ittabi'a Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You say, you love the Prophet? Follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What about us here? Are we affected by this? Yes, we will. We can start off with dua. A dua silah al-mu'min. Dua is a weapon of a believer. It's a weapon of a believer. But how will Allah Ta'ala accept or answer the dua? Ittiba' al-Sharia. Condition. Al-Shart wa jawab al-Shart. In linguistics of Arabic, you have a conditional sentence. For that to take place, you got to give something. And what is that? Ittiba' al-Sharia. Following the Sharia of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So for us to help our brothers there, we're going to start making islah also.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَئِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you thank me, I'll give you more. If you thank me, I'll give you more. I recall many, many years ago before the elections, we were stocking up. The firearm dealers were very busy. We were buying bullets, food, all that. Yasin were being read in every masajid, every masjid. We making dhikr at home. And after that period went away, what happened? Every night Yasin was read. People were worried. What is going to happen? And after that, what happened? Allah Ta'ala brought us through safely. Did we thank Allah Ta'ala? Ya Rabb, anqadhna. You have saved us. What do we give in return to Allah Ta'ala? He's not asking anything. Allahu ghaniyun hamid. He's not needy. He doesn't need anything from you. You need him. For your safety, you need him. How are we to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in safety? Whatever He has given us. Today in Iraq, sugar is a luxury. We will waste it. Bread is a luxury. Gets a little bit stale. Give it to the dog or the maid. Well, the maid first and then the dog, I think. Little bit stale. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting us through tests every minute of our lives. Are we aware of it? Because remember the Sha'b al-Kuwait, the people of Kuwait, yesterday they were rich. During the Gulf War they were poor. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them their country back. He gave them the wealth back. And in interview, they interviewed a young Kuwaiti girl and was asked, "My sister, what did you miss most while you were under siege?" "Well, I miss going to the beach. I miss going to the beach." If I ask you the question, what did you miss most in Ramadan? I get different answers here. But if somebody turns around and says, the most thing I missed in Ramadan was standing up the whole night in prayer. Because maybe Allah Ta'ala didn't give me that health or that time. Everybody you ask, how was month of Ramadan? He says, excellent, mashallah, the weather was lovely. Hey, but the sleep was getting me. Kana Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqumul layl. He just stared at the whole night until his feet should swell. And he was what? Taqaddama. He was forgiven what he did and what he's going to do. Who are we? وَلَئِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. You thank me, I'll give you more. You thank Allah Ta'ala for coming to this masjid today. Something could have happened. You could have missed your Jummah. Are we thankful Allah Ta'ala has given us the opportunity to make Jummah in Jama'ah? We take it for granted. Then when you go home now, you can sit with your family and have lunch. Some of us can't do that. Are we thankful for that? Are we thankful that we're able to sit with our children and have a meal with them? Because some parents are not able to do that because some of the children are doing drugs. How thankful are we for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all these little ni'mats that He has given us? Because you're going to be asked, you're going to be questioned on this on the day of Qiyamah. You're going to be questioned this on the day of Qiyamah, my respected brothers and elders in Islam. How are we going to answer?
Starting off with me, how am I going to answer? They will use every tactic. وَلَنْ تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودَ وَلَنَّسَرْ حَتَّى تَتَّبِئَ مِلَّتُهُمْ. They will never leave you alone until you follow their way of life and believe in their God. They will never leave you alone. They will poison the home. They will poison the community. If they're not speaking to you intellectually, they will speak to you from a barrel of a gun. And if we're not going to make Islah of ourselves now, they will rule us. They will rule us. And then we'll be all coming here to the masjid every day and say, Ya Allah, now send us the Mahdi. We can't take it anymore. But Allah is giving us the chance. Let us make a difference by simple things. First, making shukr for what Allah Ta'ala has bestowed upon us. Following the sunnah of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and being proud of it. To stand up and say, I'm a Muslim. I am a Muslim. When you see a brother in the road, you must be proud to say, Assalamu Alaikum. When somebody phones you, you must be proud to say, Assalamu Alaikum, there is a Muslim home. These small things we teach our children, because our children hear you speak and say, how's it? The child will do that. And child will how to make salam. Somebody comes and says, how's it? You're not teaching your own child how to make Assalamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullah Sunnah. Wa Alaikum Assalam Fard. Bainahuma Jaza. Reward. How much more easy must Allah Ta'ala make it for you? You say salam, I say wa'alaikum, you, we both get rewarded for it. My respected brothers and elders in Islam, remember one thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can put us through a lot of things which other countries have been going through. Allah Ta'ala has saved us. We've got to thank Allah Ta'ala for that. We've got to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we've got the love of Allah Ta'ala in His heart. We've got to open up our hearts to Him. Make our salah on time. Make our zikr. Give our zakah. Do hajj for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, concern yourselves with ummah. Because I get worried sometimes. You know, as a poet says, لَقَدْ قَامَ الْقِيَامَةِ قَبْلَ الْقِيَامَةِ. What did he mean by that? I'll end off with this. He says, as if Qiyamah has come before Qiyamah. Why? The poet means there, he's saying, because everybody today say, nafsi, 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 mine, 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 mine. On the day of Qiyamah, you'll be allowed to say that. So leave that for the day of Qiyamah. Now I must say, I must put my brother first. I must put the ummah first. I must put the poor first. And then I've got to think about myself. So you'll have a chance to say, nafsi, nafsi. This is not the time, my brothers. That will be on the day of Qiyamah. يَوْمَ يَفِرُ الْمَرُّ مِنْ أَخِيهِ. And that is that day. But now you have to think Ummah. Because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam always thought about his Ummah. So when, how can you say we're following the Sunnah of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? When we're not putting the Ummah before ourselves. My respected brothers and elders in Islam, we make dua to Allah Ta'ala that He keeps us steadfast. He keeps us on Allah Sirat al-Mustaqim. That He gives our brothers and sisters all over the world victory over the kuffar, inshaAllah. He gives us the tawfiq and the hidayah to at least make dua for them and help in whichever way we can for liwajhillah al-khalis. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.